We are going to have a little bit of a different kind of service today. And you can tell at the beginning because right off the bat, my normal handout pass out people are not here. So we have subs. And that makes a big difference. We're also going to have no children's church, so we're going to have a roll, though, for everybody. And there's not very many of you in here today, but there are a few people who are under the age of 21. If you're 20 years old or younger, there's going to be a point where I cue you, and you're going to say, "Why are we doing this?" See? Or even if you're over 21 and over, you can say it if you want to, you know? So we're going to practice. So everybody who's under 20, Lucas, you're going to have to step it up, brother. And wait a minute, Emily was back there a minute ago. She's going to say, "Why are we doing this?" So, okay, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and you're going to say, "Why are we doing this?" 1, 2, 3.
Why are we doing this?
No. Not everybody. Okay, Jeanette, you're not under 21. Just if you're under 21. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Why are we doing this?
Great, see? Anytime I go 1, 2, 3, you're going to say it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's great. See? And you're asking, why are we doing that? Okay, y'all are awesome. We're still in the larger story. What's become the longer story, but this is the last section of the part called Victory is today. And next week we'll talk about the return, the last part of our time together. This is going to be about encouraging each other, which is a big part of this time where we are living right now, 2018. It's after the cross, but it's before the return of Jesus. And so sin and death, you know, were defeated at the cross, but we still have a lot of trouble in this world. And that's what we're talking about today, and we have for the last few weeks. Next week, we'll be talking about the return of Jesus. And I'll be preaching that week, and the next week, we'll talk about it again, and Jeremy will be preaching that week, and we're going to be talking both these weeks about not just the fact that Jesus is going to return, but what difference does that make in our life today? Okay, so that's where we're headed. Today we're going to end up this time about talking about victory, this time of life between the cross and the return of Jesus. And it is this time that we live in right now. Now, we know that this is sort of our theme verse for this is John 16. Jesus, this is the promise of Jesus that if I was going to sing the song, the old song, Standing on the Promises, this isn't the one I would be talking about. But he did promise that in this world, we're going to have trouble. But take heart, he's overcome the world. So today we're going to talk about a verse that I grew up thinking kind of negatively about. But it has to do with the idea of discouragement. Discouragement was a prevalent theme in the New Testament. There was a lot of discouragement happening in the church among Christians. Well, wait a minute. There might be some discouragement happening even around here today. But one of my favorite movies is the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Okay? And my family would watch it all the time. We know all the words. But I have unusual parts that are my favorite parts. And there's one or two that are other people's. But this is actually my favorite part of the movie that we're going to do right now. And this is how it goes.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear father. Joseph, Jesus, and Mary. Help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God. Something's the matter. with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Hello, Joseph. Trouble?
Looks like we'll have to send someone down. A lot of people asking for help for a man named George Bailey.
George Bailey? Yes, tonight's his crucial night. You're right. We'll have to send someone down immediately. Whose turn is it?
That's why I came to see you, sir. It's a clockmaker's turn again.
Oh, Clarence hasn't got his wings yet, has he?
We passed him up right along. Because, you know, sir, he's got the IQ of a rabbit.
Yes, but he's got the faith of a child. Simple. Joseph, send for Clarence.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help.
Splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Then I've only an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting for over 200 years now, sir, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book you've got there?
Oh, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Clarence, you do a good job with George Bailey, and you'll get your wings.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Poor George. Sit down.
Sit down? What do we...
If you're going to help a man, you want to know something about him, don't you?
Well, naturally, of course.
Well, keep your eyes open. See the town?
Where?
Two lines. Clarence, is he sick? No, worse. He's discouraged. Yeah. And then at the end, if you're going to help a man, you got to know something about him. We're going to talk about those today. And we're going to go into these two verses of Hebrews 10, and we'll be in several other places today too in the Bible. But Here's what it says, Hebrews 10. Let's consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, when I grew up, this verse was used to beat people in the head when they missed church. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, hands are raised, okay. Scratch that out of your mind. It's pretty hard, though, isn't it? As a matter of fact, the version we often read at the churches I went to, it said, don't forsake the assembly, right? And I'm like, I just want to, like, why? I wanted to see, you know, Disneyland was on TV, and I missed it every Sunday. My friends would talk about it on Monday at school. We never got to see it because it was at 6 o'clock, and we had church. Bonanza. We got home in time for Bonanza, okay. Going to do that. But we're going to focus on these two other parts of this verse, or a couple of other words. One is the idea of spur one another on, and the other is encouragement. You look these up in Greek or in lots of other translations, and the idea of spur one another on is almost like this. It comes from a word that means like I'm going to incite a riot. Okay? Or it's I'm going to stir up the pot. Or it's I'm going to inspire. This is the kind of person I wanted to be on my football team. A person who would come in and the room would get excited. You know, this is the way it is when you're having people over at your house or you're going to a party. You want, fill in the blank, somebody who's going to show up because they're going to be fun, right? Or you're on a work project and you got people and you want so-and-so to show up because they're going to help everybody get into the work. You know, they're going to pump people up to get to it. But sometimes they have to stir it up. They might even have to challenge someone almost, yeah, but not offensively. This is where the word encourage comes. The word encourage in this verse, in the next verse, is the idea of comfort. That I'm not only going to, you know, say you're a good guy, but especially if you are down, if you're sad, if you're If you're needing someone to help lift you up, this is what we're coming, and this is why we come together. So, here's the thing. Look at us sitting around here in a warehouse. Look around. Look around. We're sitting here in a warehouse, and I want to know, this is what I want to talk about today. One, all my kids under 21, one, two, three. Why are we doing this? What are we doing here? Why did you show up? Well, maybe it is this idea to encourage one another. Now, the people who the book of Hebrews was written to were most likely second generation Christians. They were most likely people who heard their parents telling about Jesus, and as they grew up, their parents were saying, and you know what, kids? He's coming back soon. Jesus is going to return, and he's coming back soon. As a matter of fact, in some churches, the problem was people would quit their job because they thought Jesus was coming back like this weekend. I don't need to work because here comes Jesus. He's going to be back. They were expecting him to be back. And these kids grew up like that. And then he didn't come. And he didn't come. And life got hard. And life especially got hard for Christians. And so as life got harder, they were like, maybe we should quit. This doesn't seem to be what I signed up for. Because when I signed up, I thought Jesus had taken care of sin, and now I find myself, I still sin. When I signed up for being a Christian, I thought that death is defeated, and still people I love are dying. So they're discouraged. And so this is what the remedy is. We're going to get together to encourage each other. Now, we do several things when we come to the warehouse. One of the things we do is sing. Now, sometimes people come and they sing, and it's almost like we're singing just because we got to check the box, get it off the list. We're going to sing, and it's sort of the warm-up for the sermon. So when we sing, one, two, three, why are we doing this? Well, here's the thing. Music, I believe, for many people, and poetry speak to our soul in different ways than the spoken word. There's sometimes you hear a song, and that song has truth in it. But it moves you more than just the spoken word. And sometimes poetry is the same way. My granddaughter and I, Avery, were driving over here this morning, early, and we had a Rich Mullins concert in the car. And so as we got through the different songs, we're playing the one where we would sing mostly in church, the one, "Oh God, You Are My God." And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And then this second verse. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. So he's referring to that moment where God says, look up at the stars. Your children are going to be like these stars. And Rich Mullins is saying, I'm one of those stars. So are you. He says, Abraham, he was a stranger in this land, and I am that, no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. Isn't that what you find as you're trying to be a righteous person? Sometimes it's hard. And I may falter in my steps, but never beyond your reach. And when Rich Mullins sang that, my heart was pierced with love in a way that my preaching doesn't do that. Songs can touch us in places and ways and deliver truth to us that nothing else does. But we also have preaching. And we have the reading of God's word. And so the word of God as read, especially by Art, and preached has the power to transform, or I want to say change a person's life. My life is going to be changed by the word of God. But sometimes I you know, you're here and you're sitting here and you think, one, two, three, why are we doing this? Same old thing. Bob is going to tell some stories and then blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon, you know, you're just hearing that. But I want you to look and see about the Word of God. On the back of this handout this week, the scriptures that are listed are actually on the back of that handout. And I want to read the one. This is the Word of God. Number three, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in right living. I want you to think about that. Scripture is useful for these things. When you read the Word of God or the Word of God is preached, these things are available to you. And then it says, even crazy, that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You mean I read my Bible, I talk about my Bible, and it's going to teach me how to live? Yeah. Yeah. This is why we come. We come to sing to each other. We come to hear God's word spoken through preaching and through reading. We're going to go through our whole service and kind of analyze why do we do what we do in our service. And we're going to do it in the preaching of the word, but also we're going to do it in the singing of the word. So we're going to stand now and we're going to sing. So let's, we're going to be up and down all morning. Just kind of be ready to ride with us here, but we're going to sing. Here we go. I want to ask you a question about the things we've just talked about, the idea of songs and music and poetry, speaking God's word to you. Has anybody got any of the, any lyric, any word, any phrase of any of the songs we've sung so far? We've sung three songs today. Has anybody got a, something that just sort of stuck out to you that was like, wow, that spoke to me, that's something I haven't thought of lately? That's something I'm going to keep thinking about later. Anybody? This is sort of, again, participation time. Yeah, Sarah?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And I thought what a privilege it is to have God's word.
Yes.
Available to me all the time.
Yeah. God's word is a lamp, shows me my path. And we have that available. We have Bibles. Well, we have lots of Bibles. Sometimes we don't take advantage of reading them, but we do have the opportunity, right? And one of the things about coming together and doing it together is the fact that we do open them, and then we do talk about them. And so there is this Word of God engagement. I love it in our Bible classes when we actually open God's Word and we get to share with each other and share different ideas. Well, I thought, this really means something to me. And someone else will say, usually Steve, Lot speech, not the other Steves, will say, nah, you know, no, it's not that, it's this. And I say, yeah, good. But that's the thing of spurring one another on, right? We're spurring one another on. We're trying to encourage each other through God's word and through the lyric of that song. Some of you are like this. I know some people more than others. So my granddaughter Avery's with me this morning. And Avery, we started singing the song, Come Let Us Sing with for Joy to the Lord early. And she said, now that song is stuck in my head. Have you ever gotten songs that are stuck in your head? Sometimes they're not good, you know. You know, one of my sons posted on Facebook this week when he's at work. He said, and a smile comes to his face when the song Billie Jean comes to his mind. It's a Michael Jackson song, you know. No. I don't want the lyrics of Billie Jean going through my mind over and over and over through the day. So to stop that from happening, what I need to do is praise God, sing some song that carries the message of God and His love and His providence for us. This is me and God's word and our songs. Well, there's another thing we do every week here, and it's we call it communion or the Lord's Supper. Some people call it the Eucharist, but we do communion here. One, two, three.
Why are we doing this?
Okay, here's the deal. If you guys who came in late, if you're under 21 and I say 1, 2, 3, you have to say loud, why are we doing this? So we do communion here every week. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're going to do it one more time with a little more enthusiasm. We do communion here every Sunday. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, why do we do that? Why? What's up with that? We have in our church here, we do most of the time, we use a little cup like this, pass them around, and a little piece of bread that we break off like this. And we do it like, okay, now we've done that. Now, okay, somebody will say some words about it. That's what's going to happen today. But I want to suggest two things that the scripture says happen when this happens. This is symbolic. And it also, not only is it symbolic, which symbolism is important in your life in so many different ways, but the Bible also suggests that something is actually going on in the spiritual world, in your heart and in your soul when you do this. It's more than just putting your hand over your heart like when you sing the national anthem or say the pledge. It's more than that. That you're actually participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus as we take this. But for sure, Scripture says these two things about it. One is that in communion, we remember and proclaim the cross of Christ. First of all, I want to think about remembering. This is in, again, 1 Corinthians 11. You can read on the back of your handout. The idea of remembering, one thing that's pretty normal about human beings, we forget stuff. Somebody had a birthday today, but we didn't forget. Or this week, we didn't forget, did we? We celebrated the birthday. But sometimes people forget stuff, anniversaries, birthdays, where you put your keys, you know, whatever. We're forgetful. God left us something to do to help remember. Jesus said, when you do this, remember me. And then Paul says also, when you do it, you're also proclaiming Jesus' death. You're saying to other people outside of us, we're coming together and we're saying, this is something we do. This is important to us. You know what's important to me? The death of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. That's important to me. There's a lot of other things that are important to me too, but more important than July the 4th, more important than January 22nd, my birthday, more important than any anniversary, more important than any other thing, any other moment in history is this moment. And I want to tell people, this is important to me. Another thing we do here is the unity prayer. I love this church because we do the unity prayer. Part of the unity prayer is the, and we talked about it for the whole sermon a couple weeks ago, the idea that God wants us to be one. And so he even said in Ephesians that he has broken down all the barriers. There's no more barriers between us, between white people and black people. There's no more, you know why? Jesus tore it down. Between men and women, there's no barrier. Jesus tore it down. Now, our task is to keep the unity. And so we come together every Sunday and we say a unity prayer. And part of it is not just to check the box, but it's because I want to live my life. I want to come together with you guys and say to each other, we're going to keep the unity at work. We're going to work on unity at work. Sometimes our boss is hard to work for. And sometimes that's especially like Kevin, his boss is real hard to work for because his boss is himself. So keeping the unity at work, in your family, in your school, keeping the unity, loving each other, being a forgiving and gracious person. And what we come, when we say this together, when we say the unity prayer, what we're telling each other is we're committing to live a life of unity outside the walls, just as much as we are here inside the walls. So again, stay seated, but we're going to sing, and then we're going to take communion, and we'll have a unity prayer.
Valentine's Day is coming. Mm-hmm. Heads up. And love is in the air. And we know, we all know that love can make you do crazy things. Even God did something crazy because he loved us. As we prepare for communion this morning, let's think about the love of God for a minute. If you've ever wondered just how much God loves you, all you have to do is look back at the cross. He knew humanity had a sin problem. It separated us from God, and it brought death into this world. But God's plan from the beginning was to show how much he loved us by sending his son to die for us. Crazy, right? Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And it goes on in verse 8 to say, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Of course, John 3:16 comes to mind, right? God so loved the world, so loved. The cross says God was willing to go to the greatest lengths possible to save you. And speaking of love, in John 15, it says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus did that, but he didn't stop there. He also laid down his life for his enemies. As they nailed him to a cross and hurled insults at him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Crazy, right? In this process of bringing us to himself, God stepped out of heaven and into our human experience. He knows what it's like to be human, to be you. God became one of us in the form of Jesus in order to save us. Love makes you do crazy things. God loved us too much to be rational about it. His love kept him from standing back behind the glass in the safe zone. He jumped in and got infected too. Jesus became sin for us in order to take it away. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, or to be the sin offering, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what should we do with this crazy love? Keep it to ourselves? The Bible suggests a different response.
God is love, for God so loved the world, the whole world, not just my world. God so loved every person in this world and sent Jesus to teach us what love looks like.
Pyar sahanshil hota hai.
L'amour est plein de bonté, l'amour.
El amor no es envidia.
Liefde pronkt niet.
Любовь не гордится.
사랑에는 실패가 없다.
L'amour pas égoïste.
빙 yêu sẽ chẳng dễ dàng nóng giận.
Iga ik sak nai to ka ko ko e khun kan.
Prem lai dushtma prasanna gatena.
El muhabba tefra fil haq.
Bhalobasha shorboda rokha kore.
Amour sempre confirma.
Liebe sucht nicht seinen eigenen Vorteil.
Amour toujours persévère.
Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. To love every person, every nationality, every background, every history, every soul. Because in life, we find faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Well, love is the reason why we're here this morning. God's crazy love for us. It's the reason why we do everything we do. So, as this suggests, it's our turn now to spread the love. As we take communion today, I invite you to think about how to keep God's love going, not just in your life, but in the lives of other people who maybe don't know him as well as you do. God's crazy love is the only thing that can shake this world up through people who love others more than themselves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for not standing by and watching us struggle with sin all on our own. Thank you for making a way back to you when there was no other way. And thank you for showing us how much you love us through the form and sacrifice of Jesus. And Father, we pray that we won't stand by and watch others struggle, that we'll show them the way to you through Jesus. We pray that we will love others with the same love you first showed us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to say I agree with Bob that I think the unity prayer is one of the most important things that we do, and I love it that we do it. It charges us. It's all the things Bob said. But it charges us to go out in a spirit of unity and not a spirit of division. And we do that by taking on the spirit of Christ. And the other thing it does, though, that I really like is that it reminds us that we're not just us, that we're part of something really big, that there are churches worshiping all over this city, all over the country, and that there are Christians all around the world that we need to remember. So this morning, in light of that, we're going to pray for the two churches, Arlington Chinese Church and Arlington Christian Bible Fellowship. And we're also going to pray for the Christians in Australia, which is kind of cool because I was actually over there. And it was over 100 degrees and I was splashing around in the ocean. So it's different today than it was a year ago for me. But I'm going to read this about Australia, and it's very consistent with what I saw when I was there. Traditionally a Christian nation with freedom of religion, Australia is becoming increasingly secular. While the majority of the population still claims to be Christian, only 10% attend church regularly. The largest Christian contingents are Roman Catholic, 25%, Anglican, 17%. And the many immigrants living in Australia have also brought a wide variety of religions with them. The church is being challenged by a new age, self-created spirituality, and more people are developing negative attitudes toward the church. Followers of Christ also face ideological debates about topics such as human origin, sexuality, and the existence of God, and discord among believers about these issues is leading to division within the church. And I saw a lot of that, actually. They're mindful of religion. In fact, one of the things they'll ask you if you're a religious person, and they're usually, at least one guy I talked to, when he found out I was a believer, it was kind of like, oh, wow, you're a believer, huh? And so we had a good talk about it, and it was kind of fun because he actually grew up a Presbyterian like me, so it was a good chat, but they definitely have some issues with secular thinking. So this morning we're going to pray that Australian Christians will be bold witnesses, show the love of Christ to those who oppose them, and be revived once again in their faith. And we're going to pray Jesus Christ to capture hearts of the next generation before they succumb to competing influences, and pray for a move of the Holy Spirit to transform Australia and revive its church. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just pray your Spirit upon us, Lord. And we pray for each of us individually that when we go out into our jobs and what we do during the week, that we will be a force for unity. We'll have a spirit of unity, Lord. We pray that'll come from your Spirit, Lord, and that we'll take that on and display that in everything we do, and that we will not be an agent of division wherever we go. And Lord, we also pray for all of the churches here in the city and around the world that are worshiping you, and we pray your blessing upon them, pray your Spirit upon them. Lord, we especially pray this morning for the Arlington Chinese Church as they worship today, and the Arlington Christian Bible Fellowship, Lord, as they're worshiping today. And we just pray that you will be moving in their worship and that that they will experience your spirit, and that they will also have a spirit of unity among them. And Lord, we pray for the Christians and the people in Australia. Lord, there are some wonderful people over there, and Lord, we just pray that they will catch fire and that they will have your spirit among them, that they will listen, and they will not be deterred by the idea of intellectualism, and that they will understand your spirit, Lord, and not be afraid to be bold and to proclaim you, Lord. We just pray that they will. We just pray that that happens, and that your spirit can move there. Lord, again, we pray for each and every one of us as we go out, that we'll be a unifying force. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
What just happened? Right here. As Mike led us to the foot of the cross, and God's love just washed over us and through us, as we remembered together how great God's love is, as Mike had words to say and found words of others to show us, and here was Jesus and Holy Spirit in our midst, moving among us as we took this little cup of juice, and we experienced the love of God. And then we sang this song. And we were headed towards the unity prayer. And this song talks about Christians all over the world, right? This song talks about Christians all over the world, that God's spirit and God's purposes and God's movement is rising up all over the world. And then Steve prayed, and not only for the Christians in this room, but in the Christians all over town, especially two specific churches, and the Christians in Australia who have to play in the ocean to get cool when it's 100 degrees. But really, something happened. And it was this. The powers of darkness tremble because of God's love rising up in God's people. And so why do we do the things we do? It's to participate with God in this. All the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. So why do we do the things we do? One of the things we do is we take an offering. So why do we do the things we do? Why do we do that? I want to suggest there's several reasons we do it, but primarily, God asks us to. I want to say one of the things about giving money. God doesn't need it. We don't give it because God needs it. God wants our best, not because he needs any of it. He has commanded us to give for our sake, not so we will have enough money to do good things with, even though that is one of the things we're going to do. But he wants us to know in this regular giving that he's given us all we need. And when we give an offering, it is because we're saying to God, thank you, you've given us all we need. And we're going to give back to you something you've already given to us. We're not ever going to give him something that's not already his. And he has plenty of money to do whatever he wants to do. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, is what the Old Testament says. I mean, more than you can imagine. Now then, sometimes we do good things with the money that he gives us to give. And sometimes our giving does benefit the work that God has given us to do. But it's not because God needs it that we primarily give. It's this idea that we're offering ourselves. And so that's the case of this woman. In Mark, it says that she was at the place Jesus and his guys were sitting across from where they took the offering. I don't know what that looks like. In this little space right here, I don't know. That'd be like Steve Box in the very back. He's watching us through. He's in the lobby and he's watching us. He said they were watching. They were sitting across from where they took the offering and they were watching. I don't know what was up with that. And they saw people give. And they saw people give. And there was a woman who gave. And he says, the woman gave 2 cents, we'll say. Just 2 cents. What can be done with that? Can't even pay the electric bill. You know, it can't do anything. And Jesus said she gave more than anybody else. Why? Because it wasn't about the amount, it was about her heart. And that's why we give. That's why we give. So we're going to pass some trays right now. We're going to do that as a way to give. You can also give by putting some your money in a box that's back there. But really, as we do this, you almost get the feeling of a shakedown, right? Have you ever seen that happen? Like, here's a guy with a tray, and in this case it's Jeremy, and he's looking at you, and I want you to imagine this scene, right? He hands it to you, and you don't give anything, and you hand it back to him. He looks down at it, and he just hands it back to you. Or you do put something in, and he looks down at it, and he shakes it, kind of, That's not what this is about at all. The reason we do this together is to say, again, we're doing this all together. If you put in a zero, or if you put in however much, the biggest amount, it doesn't matter. What we're doing is together saying, God has given us everything we need. Praise God. God's given us everything we need. Yes, is that good? And so we give an offering to say, God, thank you. You've given us everything we need. And so we put something in. Or we don't, but we still celebrate with those who do, because God's given us everything we need. And so we pass this offering. Let's pray, and then we'll pass. God, we love you, and we just thank you for everything you've given us, for the clothes that we wear today, for the shoes on our feet, for the coats that kept us warm, for the beds we slept in last night. God, we love you and we thank you for all the good things you've given us, but we thank you even more for the love you've put in our hearts for each other, for the people who love us, for the things that money can't buy. We thank you for that. And for most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who gave the greatest offering, his life. And so we want to give you back our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need each other. And we need to tell our stories. And we need to hear the stories of others. And the next couple of things I'm going to talk about are things that sometimes happen when we come together, but happen best and most often outside the building. But we need to hear each other's stories, testimonies. We hear them in many different ways, but I want to just emphasize this verse in Revelation chapter 11. It's on the back of your page, down to number 7. They triumphed over him. The him means Satan, They triumphed over evil. They triumphed over Satan. That's us. We triumph over him in these two ways. One, the blood of the Lamb, the power of the cross, and the word of their testimonies. Now, this seems maybe crazy to you, but we win a spiritual battle when we tell each other our stories. I remember when this first happened with Isaac and myself. We sat over at Spring Creek Barbecue. Isaac had brought a 2-for-1 coupon. It was awesome. Yeah, smart. And we just told each other our stories about how God was at work, how he had been at work, and how he was at work in our lives. And this has happened in many other ways. But this is what needs to continue to happen when we do this, when we tell our stories and we hear each other's stories. This is what happens. We receive affirmation. I'm confident that's what Isaac received from me and I received from him. When we're telling each other our story, affirmation and acceptance and love. When you tell each other your stories. Now, sometimes you're afraid to do that because, man, I got some weird stuff in my story. And some of it's not just weird, it's bad. And I'm afraid to tell part of my story because if I tell you all of my story, you may judge me or condemn me. But this is our power in telling the story, is we kind of put ourselves out there, so to speak. And when you do that, you risk, but the reward is love. And in our church, it's acceptance. This is a powerful thing. This is where Satan, see, one of the places where Satan has us captive is fear of being honest. The fear of telling our story. The fear that if you know me well, you may not like me. And so in this fear, we're kept from knowing each other. So in telling our story, there's power. There's spiritual power. Now, this exchange of love happens often and I think best, not always, but usually best outside the building. And this is one of the things that's most attractive about our church. When I'm talking about our church to other people, I say we have a vibrant, I like the word vibrant. We have a vibrant small group program. We got small groups relative to our size out the wall. We got small groups for everybody that you can imagine. Some of them have specific things we do, but they're all good. And they're in the bulletin. They tell you where to go. But we also have small groups that are impromptu. We have small groups like, for instance, the mom's group that's going to meet Saturday at the Carlson's house. And you can read about that specifically in the bulletin. It's much better to read about it in the bulletin than me tell you about it, because telling about the mom's group can be dangerous. Next Saturday, okay, I'm going to a concert. I'm going to a concert. I don't know with who, except the Corbetts, I hope, are going. But there's a concert that is going to be at UTA. Hey, no, it's going to be, say it again. North Davis, even better. I know where North Davis is. I know exactly. Where Christians are going to gather and just enjoy fellowship and worship, really. And so if you're interested in that, I'm going. Corbett's are going. If you're interested in that, Cindy has some more information about it. But it's another place that happens is just one-on-one. Man, we need to get together and tell our stories. One of the greatest things that happened to me was one day I stayed after lunch at Burger Street with Deborah Vaughn, and she told me her story. Little Kansas farm girl, grew up, and here she is with us now, and just where she went and how things that happened to her. It was awesome. Telling our story, listening to each other, affirming each other. And really, it's not about us. It's about what God's doing and what he's done in our lives. This is what happens when we go work together. Sometimes we get the opportunity to do service stuff together. Right, Kevin? Sometimes we go work on houses that need some work. And when that happens, we get some work done. That's good. But even more, we come to know each other. That's what we do in mission trips. When we go on a mission trip, it's a lot of it is for the place we go, but a lot of it's for us as we go, and we learn more about each other. Not only that, it happens sometimes on Facebook. Now, I want to tell you, Facebook is dangerous. You can get into some big trouble on Facebook. You can get your mind off of the thing, but in the way that we use it in our church, I think it's very helpful to just share what's going on. And sometimes there's some great blog. Katrina Rhodes continues to just inspire me in her blog. And so there's lots of ways we can share our story. But sharing our story is part of what we do here. And it's how we continue to receive the grace and strength and love we need from each other. Here's the message from Hebrews. Keep meeting together. We need each other. Keep meeting together. We need each other. Some of you I know pretty well. Some of you I'm just getting to know. Some of you know each other, have known each other longer than you haven't. Some of you just met. And so we need to just keep on meeting each other. Keep on meeting each other. Keep meeting together to encourage each other. We're going to sing this great song. And I got to say, man, sometimes I don't know what we're going to sing till I get here. That's the way it is with most of you every Sunday. But sometimes I get an insider information. But the songs we've sung today, I hope they've blessed you. They've blessed me. This last song we're going to sing is about life song. It's about our life, giving it to God. I want to say this too, that I want to emphasize, just keep meeting together, okay? Not just on Sundays, but as we go through the weeks, as the days, in all the different ways we can, keep meeting. And God will give us the encouragement we need. And maybe He'll stir us up a little bit too, okay? Let's stand and sing. God, that's us. We want to sign Your name at the end of this day to say that my life, our lives are true. We love You and we want to live like it. So I pray, God, that You'd give us wisdom, You'd give us courage, You'd give us strength, You'd give us patience, You'd give us all the things we need that we could love well. Love well both those who are near us, those who we love already, and those who are strangers to us, those who we have not yet met. Father, we want to be Your ambassadors to this world. And we thank You for bringing us together to inspire us and to encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.